The Lord. All right. How many are doing good tonight? If you're saved, y'all be doing good, right? If you know Jesus, you're doing good. It doesn't matter what's going on all around you, what's going on, you know, what happened, what's going on this morning, what's going on right now. Praise the Lord. Jesus has got it. Amen. He's already won the victory. We learn to walk in it. Praise God. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Glory to God. I could start every sermon I think I preach in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 we're going to start with. But tonight I'm going to talk about the basis. In other words, what gives us authority? What gives the name of Jesus authority? What gives our faith authority? What gives our confession authority? What gives us the right to believe and pray? What gives us that, all right? That's what I want to look at tonight. And it's so important that you're going to be amazed, I am, as I read and study, how many times this certain thing is mentioned. In fact, I'll say this, you can't even be saved if you don't believe this. And you know, the word saved doesn't just mean born again. It means to be healed. It means to be kept safe. It means to be, delivered. It includes everything God did through Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension and seating at the right hand. It includes everything that God accomplished in the plan of redemption. If we don't believe this, we can't partake of it. And without it, we're still sinners. All right? So let's look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul, in this prayer, prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, you who, the saints and the faithful. So this is a prayer that we can pray for any Christian. We can pray this for ourselves. Anybody that's in Christ, all right? That he would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And here's where I want to get to. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. How many of you realize? Now, we're not going to talk about the cross, but without the cross, there'd be no resurrection. We're not making light of the cross. But without the resurrection, there would be no ascension and seating at the right hand of God, and there would be no authority. Because here he said, when he seated him at his right hand, it was far, at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. That authority, the authority that Jesus has his position of being over everything and all things being under his feet, he obtained that when God raised him from the dead. And Paul prays that we would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. We would know that. And that what kind of power? The power that he used when he raised Jesus from the dead. Okay? Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. I know here in 3 weeks we'll have Easter, but this is not an Easter message, but he is alive. He's risen from the dead. When God raised him, it showed he had conquered. He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. All right? Let's look at Luke chapter 24. Here Jesus had been talking to these disciples, and they didn't really recognize him as much. And he opened up their understanding, said that they might know the scriptures. After he had as he's talking to them here, and some of them didn't believe yet, and you know he eats a meal with them and breaks bread with them. But then he says to them in verse 46, it's important. After he says that he might open up the scripture, he says, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, And thus it behooved, or it was necessary, for Christ to suffer. But not just suffer, not just go to the cross. How many of you know Jesus isn't still on the cross? That wasn't the end. That wasn't the end, glory to God. But thank God for the cross. But it said here, to suffer and, thank God for and, to rise from the dead the third day. Not just to suffer. See, it was God's plan, yes, to suffer on our behalf, to bear our sicknesses, carry our diseases, to become sin for us. That he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He accomplished that at the cross, but none of it would have any effect if he hadn't risen from the dead. He raised him up. He said it was necessary. It was necessary for the Christ, the Messiah, to suffer, yes, but also to rise again the third day. Glory to God. And Jesus is alive today. Amen. Now, you see it in the early church. The early church, especially Peter, but then as we get on all of the early church, but Peter, and it seems like these early disciples, you know, same church we're in, right? Same. There's no early church and really late church. We're in the same church. Book of Acts still being written, you know. Amen. The Acts, it's not the Acts of people, it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost, and he's still active. Okay? You know, I don't know, maybe you got a chapter. Maybe when we get to heaven, it's all written there. Just Acts, there it is. We can all see it. But they like to point out, especially, bless their hearts, to the religious leaders, you crucified him, God raised him. They pointed it out over and over again. So let's just start and run some of these. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. See, it was God's plan. This was God's plan all along. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up. There's the first, notice that. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. Glory to God. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer or allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known unto me the ways of life, that you may make me full of joy with your countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. For he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher or his grave is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Hallelujah. Now notice here, twice he said God raised him up. I find it interesting that he said that David was speaking of the resurrection of Christ, not speaking of himself, even though it applies to us now, but he was speaking of the Christ. He said, you will not allow his soul to remain in hell. Because when the price was paid, he came up out of that grave. Amen. Glory to God. Look at Acts chapter 3. This is a theme. I mean, it's a common thing. Why? We're going to see, we're going someplace because it's so important. If we understand this and we have this as the foundation, we can operate in what God said. But if he's not risen, there's no authority. If he's not risen, there's no great commission. If he's not risen, there's no forgiveness of sins. Even though the price was paid, he had to rise again to enforce it. To make it active. In fact, Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, if there be no resurrection of the dead, we are all still sinners. Amen? But thank God there is a resurrection from the dead. You know, in the time of Jesus, there was different groups of the religious leaders. There was the scribes. They would take the law and then they'd add a little point A, point B to it, you know, make it harder, like it needs to be harder, right? And then there was the Pharisees. And then there was the group that didn't believe in the resurrection called the Sadducees. And like somebody said, that's why they were sad, you see. Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the spirit realm at all. Praise the Lord. Acts 3, verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered to the people, "You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead. Wherefore, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now notice here, in Acts 2, when the mighty Holy Ghost fell on that day and they were baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost and the miracle of speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And during the sermon, Peter, just all he said was, "They're not drunk as you suppose, but this was that was spoken by the prophet Joel." But he moved away from that real quick. It wasn't about, listen, it wasn't about the tongues. That was a supernatural sign, but it was about that God had raised Jesus from the dead. That was the main thing. What about this man who got healed? It wasn't that we did anything. It was that God raised Jesus from the dead. And this man is healed because his name has power, because he's alive today. Glory to God. Amen. He's alive. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed done to this paralyzed man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. There is none, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That name is our salvation. That name. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," the Bible said. But if he's not risen from the dead, that name has no power. That's it. He's just the same. There were many people named Jesus on the earth. There's people today, just depending on how you want to say it, right, with the same name. But their name doesn't heal anybody. Their name doesn't save anybody. But that name, because of who he was and what he did. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Here again, they brought them in. Again, they said, "Look, the leader said, look, we told you not to preach anymore in that name." Yeah. And they said, "You fill Jerusalem with all this doctrine." Peter answers in verse 29, Acts 5:29. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him." Hallelujah. See, the Holy Ghost wouldn't even come if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. All right, Acts chapter 10. This is a kind of familiar section to a lot of folks, but let's look what he says here. Here Peter's gone to the household of Cornelius. This man isn't even a Jew. He's a Roman soldier. But he's come to love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's given to him, and he's prayed, and his prayers have come up before God. And he came and manifested himself, said, "Look, send to Joppa for a man to this house and for a man named Peter, and he'll come and tell you words by which you must be saved." At the same time, he gives Peter a special vision. Remember, he went into a trance and let down all these animals that the Jews considered unclean to eat according to the law. And Peter, God told him, "Rise and eat." And Peter said, I'm not going to eat those. They're unclean." And God said, "Do not call unclean that which I have cleansed," signifying to him that the Gentiles were cleansed by the same blood that the Jews are cleansed by. And so he said, look, men are waiting for you. Go with them. And so he gets down there to the house of Cornelius, and he starts talking to him about things. And he gets to verse 38 of Acts 10. And he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Well, you can't stop there without saying healing is good. Sickness is of the devil. Let me say it again. Notice that the healing was good, and that was from God. Sickness was the oppression of the devil. He said healing all. So everyone, all that Jesus healed, were oppressed by the devil, not by God. God didn't make them sick so Jesus would come by and do a miracle. And you got to be a special kind of sick to think that God would treat people that way. I don't mean that mean, but you got to really, really have a warped opinion of God. If you think God, look, God is not like the little kid that found a magnifying glass and is frying ants with the sun out on the driveway. But people think that's God, you know, willing that time. No, God is good. God is good. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil. Why? Why does it say it? For God was with him. Amen. Well, keep reading. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not unto all people. He said, not unto all people, but unto witnesses, therefore, chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. And to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him should receive remission of sin. Now look at Acts 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 26. You know, it's interesting. I say this sometimes, just thinking about it. I've got, you know, we're reading quite a few scriptures here. But, you know, if you just learn how to read scriptures with a little bit of enthusiasm, you can make a good sermon just by reading scriptures. This is good stuff. You know, I get to teach the book of Ephesians at the training college, and people say, oh, that's good. Well, with that material, if you can't make it good, if you can't make the class on the book of Ephesians good, you don't have anything. Because this, the material itself, I mean, dear Lord, it's the prince of the epistles. Woo, glory to God. I'm the dean, I get to teach it. No, actually, I've got that class back in 2002, and I've just hung on tight. Glory to God. But it's good material. Well, same thing here. Verse 26, Acts 13. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is the word of salvation sent. For they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which were read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. The two sweetest words that are in the New Testament. But God. But God. But God. Hallelujah. I don't have my notes, but I can't go. We're going to have to turn to it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. I'm going to come right back here, but Ephesians chapter 2 says that we had our life, you know, we were living like the devil, basically. Verse 3 says, among whom you also had your manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. Who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, couldn't have that if he wasn't alive. But God. All of us have a story we could tell. I was going this way. I was raised in church but didn't have a relationship with him but God, who is rich in mercy. Amen. I was born on the east side. I was born on the west side. I was born on the tracks. It doesn't matter, but God. Hallelujah. See, it doesn't matter what your past is, as long as you got a but God right there. But God, who is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. You see, everybody in my family, you know, we got heart disease running my family. But God, I'm in a new family. I've been adopted into the family of God. There ain't no heart disease in this family. There's no blood sugar problems in this family. There's none of that. There's no generational curse. There's none of that. But God. But God pulled me out. But God pulled you out of that. Out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. From death to life, but God. Hallelujah. And when did he do it? When did he accomplish it? When he raised Jesus from the dead, he made it available to all of us. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because God raised Jesus from the dead. All right, go back to Acts 13 there. I'm not quite done there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. Verse 31, they said here in Acts 13. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto his children, in that he has raised up Jesus again. And also, now I want you to notice this, as it is also written in the second psalm, and you can go back to second psalm, you can read this. You are my son, this day I have begotten you. Now I want you to see that here. Well, read verse 34. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said in this wise, I will give you the sure mercy. He has raised him up. Praise the Lord. Down in verse 37, he just to say it one more time, whom God raised again. But verse 33... notice he said, in that he raised up Jesus again, it is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. Now notice here, he's not talking about when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, even though he was the son of God there. But the psalmist wasn't talking about that. We know he was the son. What did God say? I mean, when he came baptized, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Right? He said it on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my son. I'm pleasing him. Listen to him. All right? We know he was his son. But he said, this day I have begotten him. Begotten you. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hold that thought in your mind. When he was raised is when that is concerning. He was begotten of God that day. Raised from death to life. Right? You're not raised up from the dead if you weren't dead. Hello? Well, Jesus just swooned, you know. The false swoon theory. There in the garden. He just swooned, you know. Or on the cross, he just passed out. But he was alive the whole time. They stuck a spear in his side. And the blood and the water flowed out. He was dead, folks. These were professional executioners. They knew if you were dead. All right? And the Bible says he was dead. And it wasn't a substitute. It was him. All right. Now, Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Now we just read that Paul said in Acts 13 there, that was that same statement that was found in Psalms 2, that was in Acts 13. Here, in the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, doesn't matter, by the Holy Ghost, said, this day, he said, he didn't say it to any of the angels. He said it after he was risen and sat at the right hand. He said, you are my son. This day I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world. Now, he just changed the phrase there. He just changed something. Because you read other scriptures, and Jesus is talking about the only begotten of the Father. The only begotten, because up to that time, he was the only begotten of the Father. But now, here in Hebrews, and then later on in Revelation 1, we won't turn over there, it calls him the first begotten from the dead. The first begotten. So when he brought in the first begotten from the dead, look what he says here to him. He said, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels of spirits and angels spirits and his ministers flames of fire. But unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God. Woo, we got covenant going on now. Got a name exchange happening. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. First begotten. From the dead, not when he was born in Bethlehem, but when he was raised up, begotten of God, the first begotten, born of God, if you will, from the dead. Now remember, when he raised him up, he raised us up. Jesus rose again to life, and we now have life because he's alive. In him. Now turn to Romans chapter 10. That's what I wanted. Well, read all of that to get to these two verses. Because all of our authority, all of our right to use the name of Jesus, and salvation itself is fully dependent on if Jesus is risen and is alive today. Amen. They say, well, what are you preaching to? Because we let these things slip if we're not careful. Peter says, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things. That's good. And it's easy. It's easy to let this slip. But this is the basis of our faith. Everything we have is because Jesus has been raised from the dead by God. As a Christian, you couldn't be a Christian if he's not raised from the dead. We couldn't have a relationship with God. We couldn't ask the Holy Spirit to manifest if we didn't have a relationship with God. If Jesus wasn't risen from the dead. He said, look, Jesus said, if I don't go, the Father won't send the Holy Ghost. Amen. Romans 10 now. Now look at this. Now remember, what is the scepter of the risen Christ kingdom? Righteousness. Right standing with Almighty God. The same standing he has because it's his righteousness we have. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, in him. I'm not in my own righteousness. It's his righteousness. And I'm standing in the family of God. I am begotten of God because of him. And it's his righteousness. He has made me right with God. Now, how do I partake of that? How do we get in? Because without righteousness, which it comes through the resurrection, without it, we have no access to God. But we have that because of him. Okay? Now look at this. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, you shall be what? Born again. You shall be delivered. You shall be set free. You shall be healed. You shall be made whole. That word means all of that. You shall be preserved, kept safe. Glory to God. Amen. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Because what happens? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Righteousness. We did not become righteous because Jesus went to the cross and died. We became righteous and got the ability to believe because God raised him from the dead. Amen. See, thank God for the cross. See, any preacher that makes light of the cross is really doesn't know what they're talking about. The cross is so important. All right? But God wasn't finished, and Jesus wasn't finished, and our redemption was not complete until he rose again. We haven't even talked about seated at the right hand of God, where he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. But he rose again, and he's alive today. All right? What does it say we have to believe? That God raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead, and because of that, I'm healed right now in my body. The healing power of God's working in me right now because you raised Jesus from the dead. Because he's alive and he's the healer. Glory to God. And he's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. Because he's alive, Father, I thank you that all my needs are met according to your riches in Christ Jesus. I thank you because he's alive. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father, because you raised Jesus from the dead. I'm free. My mind is clear. The peace that passes all understanding. Glory to God is in my mind. My mind is clear. Father, I thank you because Jesus, you raised Jesus from the dead. I'm far from oppression because in righteousness I'm established. Glory to God. And I will not fear. Hallelujah. Because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now see, you start walking around like that during the day, and when you've got time, when you're driving in your car and thanking God, God, thank you for raising Jesus from the dead, for because of him, I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear son. Father, I thank you because you raised Jesus from the dead, I'm accepted in the beloved. I thank you, Father, because you raised Jesus from the dead, you've adopted me into your family. I thank you, Father, because you raised Jesus from the dead, I'm gonna spend eternity with you. Father, I thank you because you raised Jesus from the dead, everybody I lay hands on, every time I lay hands on the sick, they recover. Father, I thank you that because you raised Jesus from the dead, I can cast out devils in that name. Father, I thank you because you raised Jesus from the dead, I'm far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. In that name, because you raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got a risen Savior. He's alive today. And because he's alive, we've got victory. Because he's alive, we have what the Bible says we have. Think about it. If he didn't rise up, there's no need for Acts, Romans, Corinthians, God's Electric Popcorn Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You'll get it later. Okay. Right? There's no need for any of it after that. If he's not alive today, but thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And he's given. That's why he could say all power has been given. All authority has been given unto me. Now you go. You go. And in my name do these things. Because he's alive. He's alive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's alive. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I worked for a pastor in Kentucky. His daddy had such a good name. I could do business on his father's name. Oh, you work for him? His daddy? You work for his son? Okay. I could go into stores, little general stores. Talking about stores, you know, where you could go in and get a real ham sandwich. You know what I'm talking about? A real ham sandwich. I'm talking about real ham and cheese, a real sandwich. Okay, they made it right there. They probably made the bread. It was thick. You know, they didn't pull it out of some loaf. They had it there. They're cutting it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You go in there and get you a soda pop and just say, his name is Charlie. Put that on Charlie's tab. And they'd say, okay. Now, I always paid Charlie. Now, don't get me wrong, okay. But Charlie's gone home to be the Lord now. Can't do business on his name anymore. Because he's not alive on this earth. And his name doesn't carry authority anymore. But Jesus is alive. And he has all authority. And you can still do business in his name. and he's already taken care of the tab. You don't have to pay him back. Glory to God. You don't owe him a dime. You don't owe him a penny. You don't owe him anything but to believe on his name. Hallelujah. That he's risen from the dead. Jesus, you are alive. Glory to God. You're alive, and your name still carries all authority and all power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That name. Whoo! He says there, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the heart I take part of that kingdom. With my heart I believe, and I'm immersed into that kingdom of the risen Savior who's sitting there in the throne, the scepter of righteousness in his right hand, and I partake of it through my belief. I become right with him. I'm in agreement with him. And therefore, whatsoever I say comes to pass, and I am saved. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. Just stand on your feet. Let's thank God tonight. Father, we thank you. We praise you. You are alive, Lord. You are alive. Father, you raised Jesus from the dead. Our Savior is alive and well today. Glory to God. He's alive and seated at the right hand of God, and we're alive in him. And because of that, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we might know what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards usward who believe, according to the working of that mighty power which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Now unto you, Father, who are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that very resurrection power that's in us. To you be glory, to you be honor, to you be praise in your church. Hallelujah. Father, we the begotten of God, the adopted into the family, begotten of you, born of you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We are of you, Father. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We thank you. And all because you raised Jesus from the dead. What a magnificent plan. What a plan. What a mystery you hid. Had the prince of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But you hid it. You hid it. You declared it, but you hid it. You hid it from them. But thank God it's in the light now. Jesus is alive and well today. Hallelujah. And he's in us. He's in us. And we're in him. And he's in you, and you're in him, and you're in us. And the mighty Holy Ghost, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I feel like the psalmist, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall right now. Amen. I mean, you get talking like this, and I'm telling you, there's not anything. There's nothing impossible. What can you think of right now that sounds impossible? I mean, you get talking like that, and you don't have to come to church to let the preacher talk to you like that. You can talk like this yourself. You got the same Bible I got. Amen. Hallelujah. Just look at, read it and say, that's me right there. That's me, right, Father? That's me. And just, oh, man. Yeah. If something happens, you get talking like this, and your faith just runs right up into your mouth, and you just start speaking out, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. And you just start by faith prophesying over your life and declaring over your life and saying over your life what it's going to be, not what it has been or what it should. You're going to say what the word says about it and declare. Hallelujah. Because we have the same spirit of faith. We believed and therefore we spoke. You believe Jesus is raised from the dead tonight? Well, thank him for it. Father, one more time. We thank you that you raised up Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for it. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of you check yourself. You're healed. You didn't even know it. You had pain. It's gone. You hadn't even thought about it. You've been praising God. It's gone already. Hallelujah. Ah, oh my, 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 my. In the name. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, Father. Thank you. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. In the name, Jesus, the name that's above every name, we give you glory, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you may be here tonight and you don't know Jesus. This first time you've heard, I'm telling you tonight, Jesus is alive today. Hallelujah. And if you will confess him to be your Lord and Savior, because you believe he's alive, you believe he bore your sickness, your sickness and disease. He did on your behalf, like Paul said, I beseech you to be reconciled to God. I beg of you, come be reconciled to God. Before you leave tonight, you come on down. Men, come talk to the men, ladies to the ladies, and they'll lead you into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that we so enjoy, that we so need. It is necessary. If you need prayer for anything, you come on down here tonight, and they'll pray with you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, praise the Lord. Connection team, we have first-time guests. Welcome. So welcome. Give them another hand clap, our first-time guests tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Connection team, go find those guests. Take them. Get that special gift prepared for them on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, who are in Florida, by the way, doing crusade down there, starting in Florida. Then they'll head over to Louisiana later in the week on Wednesday afternoon, fly in there, and then start meeting there. And so be in prayer for them. Hallelujah. We thank God. Remember, we're believing, we're standing with Pastor Hagen that his faith, that his strength is springing forth speedily, right? Like we read there in Acts 3, verse 16. Through faith in his name, that name has made this man here standing before you strong and healed in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. And so we thank God, just continue to believe God. And then you know him. You know, most folks would have probably stayed home, maybe should have stayed home, but he's not staying home. He's going. So let's believe God with him as he's out there doing what God's called him to do, that his strength will remain strong. Amen. And he just continue to be the healing power of God's working in him mightily. Glory to God. All right. Gentlemen, anything? Ladies, anything? I guess not. All right. Greet one or two folks before you leave. Let them know you love them in the name of the Lord, and you can be dismissed. Amen.